the recording that was made in October 8th, 1962 at Herman Larson's 95th birthday.
Well, Herman, it's sure good to see you now today, and this is your, let's see, your 95th birthday. Can you, that's right. Can you tell us something about some of the early days? You know, we live on your old home place, and so you should be able to tell us some interesting stories. I do know one thing. I know that you planted the orchard that we get apples off of now. Maybe you could tell us some more things about it.
Boy, I certainly can. Yes, I can tell you a lot about the Larson place, because I was born and raised there, on the Larson place. And the orchard you speak about, why, I helped plant the orchard where you had to get your apples.
And in what year did you plant the orchard?
Well, I really don't know, but it must be around 70 years ago. Yeah, 70 years ago. Yes, and we had quite a orchard up there. And my father, he had me, to, when I was pretty small, why, he had me go up to the inlet there and spear those salmon and haul the salmon down on a sled to fertilize the trees, you see.
Like the Indians did with the corn years ago, huh?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yes.
Well, I've heard of the Indians doing that, or the early timers taking.
Well, the Indians never did anything around it like in this country. They never raised anything.
Is that right?
No, just lived on roots altogether.
Oh, when you were a boy, Herman, were your neighbors, were they the Indians? Were your neighbors?
Well, certainly. And when I was born, it was an Indian took care of my mother.
Is that right?
That's right.
I believe I've heard you say before that the Indians were very good neighbors.
They certainly were.
So, well, when did you play with the Indian children when you were small, or do you remember that?
I sure do. And I also remember when they took them off the reservations.
Whereabouts was that? Reservation?
What?
Which reservation?
Up to Select.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was real small, and there was an old squirrel that lived right close to the house there, and they didn't get her. And so she got onto a big spruce log, and she had a bark covered up on the side, and I knew her. I was small. And she says to me, she says, "Whenever you see a Boston man, you tell him me." She was afraid they were going to take her away, you know. So she lived there quite a while, under that old root. And I don't know what become of her.
Oh, well, in other words, they took the Indians forcefully, not particularly willingly, to the reservations. Is that right?
No, they just took them up to the reservation to the Selects.
Uh-huh. But some of them didn't want to go. Is that right?
Well, they took them. Yeah, I suppose so. Why, they shackled them together, you know, handcuffed them and took them together in a boat. I remember that. And took them up the beach.
Wow. Can you tell us some more about the early days? What about the hunting and the wild animals? I imagine it's quite different than it is now.
Well, I used to say it was. Yeah, it's quite different. The deer and elk and bear and all animals are very much larger than where they are today.
Is that right?
Yes, that's true. Why, you could kill a buck elk that weighs 900 to 1,000 pounds. And a bear would be as high as 400 pounds. Yeah. And deer also, I've killed deer, weigh 250 pounds, right here in Coos Bay.
Maybe our big bear now are about like the cubs were in those days,
that's
huh?
That's right, yeah. And I've killed many of them.
That's pretty interesting. Herman, could you tell us something about your father, Julius Larson, and how he landed here, or how he got his start in Coos County, or on Larson Inlet?
Yes, I certainly can.
I've kind of forgotten it myself.
Well, my father came here in 62. He was shipwrecked on the Coos Bay Bar. And he stayed here in Coos Bay for about 18 months. And then he went back, got a ship, he worked at Simpson Lumber Company, also worked for Pushbacker at Marshfield. Pushbacker had a sawmill there in Marshfield. And he got a ship back to San Francisco. And from San Francisco he went back to England. He got an English ship, went back to England, and he went to Norway and was married. He stayed in Norway about somewhere around a year, something like that, and came back to the Isthmus of Panama with his wife, mother. And they came to San Francisco and located in San Francisco there for about a year and a half. And my oldest sister was born there in San Francisco, Mrs. Rasmussen, Jenny Rasmussen. And he stayed there and worked longshore for about 8 or 9 months and came to Coos Bay. And from Coos Bay, he worked down in South Inlet for a man by the name of Charlie Brown. He knew Charlie Brown in the early days when he was here in the place where he came to America. And Charlie Brown, he was running a logging camp down in South Slough. So mother went down to South Slough and kept a cookhouse there for Charlie Brown. And she lived there for about 8 months and then moved back up to Empire. And Empire, they moved from Empire up to Larson Inlet. And Larson Inlet, they stayed there for about 8 or 9 months and then moved back to Coos Bay, where my sister Lily was born, the old log house in Coos Bay.
Well, Herman, did your folks homestead their place up Larson Inlet?
No, Preempton.
Oh.
That's before
homestead.
What is that, Preempton?
Preempton, we had a Preempton and a homestead and a timber claim. We had three.
Oh.
Well, that's new to me, that Preempton.
Oh, yeah. That's a Preempton. You people don't know about that.
Oh. That was the same as a land grant then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, were you were born though at Larson Inlet, is that's right?
That's right.
In what year then?
1867.
1867. And what about, did your folks live there or did it from then on or did they?
No. We lived there for quite a while and I was able to go to school. We had no schools there. And so my father and mother, we moved to Marshfield in 74. Mm-hmm. So I and the older sisters go to school.
Were your younger sisters born then in Marshfield?
What?
Your younger sisters were born in Marshfield?
No, they're most all them born there.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. We stayed there in Marshfield till 79.
Oh.
I went to school, and my oldest children went to school. The school was up on First Street. First Street there. And my sister, I had one sister born in Marshfield, in the old log cabin. That's Sister Lizzie.
Oh.
She's born in the first log cabin in Marshfield.
That was Mrs. Dubner?
No, that Leitner.
Oh, Leitner.
Well, during the time that you lived in Marshfield, what did your father do then for a living?
Well, he worked at different things. He worked with a team. We had a team there. We had four or five cows down there, and we sold milk there in town. And he worked there in the mill there, and also did teamwork around town.
Well, then after that, you moved back out to Larson Inlet.
Yes, we moved out there in 79.
Well, at that time, did you make a living then on your farm at Larson Inlet from then on, or did your father work out?
No, not after that. In 79, that's when the 79, that's the time we had the big fire.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we moved back to the farm just after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everything burnt out up there. Not the house, though. There's a barn burnt out. But then we moved back to the farm.
Well, you were a young boy then, weren't you? About 10 or 12, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Herman, when did you build then on the building site that, you know, where we live now? When was the old barn built in the house? When did you build those buildings that were there?
Oh, well, that's later years. I can't figure that out now. But you see, we lived in 79. We were living down at the Low Orchard there.
Yes, I remember that. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't remember the exact date that you settled right where, you know, started your buildings, that you had your buildings later
no,
on.
No, not exactly. I can't tell exactly what it was. But, you know, the old house burnt down, then we had to move out up to the other place up there, and then we had to start to build a new house, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a house that you people tore down.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, Herman, when you were there, you milked cows, and did you raise vegetables or other things
Everything.
For sale other than for your own use?
Everything.
Where did you sell your milk then? Did it go to San Francisco,
well,
or did you sell cream or butter?
No, I tell you, we first sold everything around the town. That's Empire City or Marshall. We made butter there, you know, and milk cows made butter, you know, old-fashioned way, and had roots and so forth, and I was peddling those around town, Empire and also Marshfield. And in the later years, why then, we shipped butter to San Francisco. And we first started to made rolls, you know, these old-fashioned rolls. And then, after a while, I was out, and we had these squares. We had boxes, so square, you know, and so many in the box. And with the piano wire, and we just cut those in certain lots. And then they had shipped it to San Francisco. And we had, I don't remember exactly how many squares there was in the box, but it must have been about, 50 rolls, or 50 squares, 2 pounds a roll. And we shipped them in boxes to San Francisco.
Did you, I am wondered, it seemed to me I remember that, someone said you made cheese there? You made cheese at the place too?
Oh yes, made cheese up on a ranch, made Swiss cheese.
Oh boy.
Yeah. 2 years they made Swiss cheese up there. We had a Swiss man made Swiss cheese.
And you boated it down to the marsh, huh?
Yes.
To North Bend?
To the North Bend or Empire, whatever it was.
They called it Empire.
But then, those days you had to go by tide, you know. You had to go the time of the tide. You
could, well, that was before the slough was dredged then.
Oh, yeah. That was before the slough was dredged.
And you, I think... You did the dredging, is that right?
I thought I did. Every dredge from the mouth of the slough to up to your place. We had 4 feet of water at low tide up to the bridge where the boys drowned.
Were you the first dredging company around this bay?
Yes, I built the dredge. I designed the dredge and built the dredge. All by myself. I had one man. I had a hired man. My name was Langley, and he helped me build a dredge. And I built a dredge there in Marshfield, where the fashion shoe store is now, down on Front Street. And within 9 months from the time I started to build a dredge to we had it running.
Wow.
First started in. Up at Ketchumana, down at the old mouth of the Ketchumana there, mouth of Ross Slough to come up this way.
And you just built it more or less out of your own head then, huh?
Oh,
you
didn't, I designed.
You didn't have anything to,
I designed
to go
the whole thing. Yes, sir.
What is it?
And I got the boom. I had the boom first, it was only 7.5-foot boom. And then I got the second boom up there at the Hollow Stump. I cut down a cedar up there on Hansen's place there and took the tree out and hewed her out and took her down at Peterson's place there and I hauled her up, carbuckled her up on the bank and hewed her out about 105 feet.
Well, that was quite a lot of work, wasn't it?
Well,
you didn't order it like you do now.
No.
You want a
60-foot
pole or a 75-foot pole?
I had a horse and a block and so forth. I got a horse, hired a horse from Charlie Crouch, lived up there around the Hollow Stump, and I pulled a tree out, pulled her out, and probably up on the shore there where old Peterson's barn is out there, Hollow Stump.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
What are some of the other sloughs that you dredged out then, Herman, about that time? Did you dredge out Larson's Slough?
Larson's Slough, Haynes Slough, North Slough, and
Isthmus
Valanche Slough. Don't know which slough.
Well, Herman, I believe several years ago you told me that you did a lot of work up around Reedsport, did a lot of dredging up there. Was that after you dredged?
I dredged before and after, you see, down here. I was up in the back and so forth. I crossed Coos Bay Bar with equipment 28 times.
Is that right?
That's right. With the equipment, you understand, dredges.
That's right.
And I had three at one time.
In other words, you had a little knowledge of the ocean, the water, and what it'll do.
Well, I certainly say I was just raised on it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, Herman, we surely enjoy talking to you. I know that everyone else does, and I know we talk about it all year from the different things that we tell you. Another thing I'd like to ask you about, I understand that in the early days there were, is it Indian camps? I understood there was one about where Glasgow was. Now, maybe I'm not calling them the right name, but where villages or something, there was Indian villages. When
there was an Indian village at the North Bend, Old Town, North Bend. There's an Indian village there at Martha Larson Inlet, and there was an Indian village at Glasgow. And one at Goose Point. There was a good one at Goose Point and also at Hollow Stump there, at Old Peterson place.
Is that right?
That was the Indian village there.
They were little teepee affairs, huh? Or were they something else?
No, principally bark.
Oh, bark.
Bark, yes, and they didn't have any lumber, you see. It was just bark and...
Well, did the Indians, did they speak English, or did they have their own language?
They had their own language, but a lot of them could talk a little English. And then when they took them off the reservation, there was a lot of these white men that went up there and married these young girls, squaws.
And they brought them back.
Brought them back here to Coos Bay. There were three on Larson Inlet. There's old Billy Brockhorn. His name is William White. He had Grossen's place. And there's Jordan. And there's Henry Muller had Rear's place, you know. They all had squaws. Then there was fellas down there on the mouth there at Mount of the Slough. Just where you turn up last minute. Why, his name is Wilson. He had a squaw, too.
Well, when they took the Indians to the reservation, well, the Indian men and women both went, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, then when the white men went up there and married the Indian girls, they brought them back.
Brought the girls back. But
what about the men? They
had to stay there.
They had to stay there.
They had to stay there.
But the men could marry the white men could marry the Indian girls, and then they moved back away. Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Were there quite a few so-called squaw men?
Oh, well, there was four on life and in it. There was no whites there besides us for a long time.
Oh, there was no white women, in other words.
No. No, there was no white women there.
There was quite a bit of that intermarrying then.
That was later, after they took them to the reservation.
Yeah.
When Herman first came there, he said there were just Indians there. There weren't any other white people.
No whites at all. That's right. And there was years there. I don't know. I was quite a sight boy before I ever saw any white people outside of family. No, it tells you it.
Well, Herman, maybe you spoke their language too when you were a child.
Oh,
well, maybe.
I could talk Indian all right.
Could you talk Coquille?
Was
Coquille an Indian name?
Coquille. Yeah. Coquille.
Well, I'm
Maggie Comtuck?
I'm learning something.
Maggie Comtuck, and I could just switch highest close.
Now, what does that mean?
Indian.
You don't know what it means, though, huh?
Yes, I do.
Well, you better tell us.
Maybe you better not tell us now. By the grin on your face, sir.
Counting. Ich, Mock, Clone, Krimis, Locket, Doklum. It's a Mocklum. That's counting.
That's numbers. Like 1, 2, 3, 4?
Oh, yes, I could tell. Pretty good being jargon, they call it.
What about the customs of the Indians? What about, like, their, what about some of their, in this country, how did they keep their food in the winter and things?
Well, I tell you, they lived principally on clams and fish and so forth. In the summertime, they'd gather berries and dry them, and nuts. In early days, in this country, there was lots of hazelnuts, and they gathered bushels and bushels of hazelnuts, and they dry them for the winter. And also have different roots, you know. One day, pencil lived on fish, clams.
Well, that's real interesting. Then there's quite a difference now than there was years ago, isn't it? With refrigeration and everything.
times, we generally, for winter time, we'd buy big supplies. We'd buy quite a bit of supply. In summertime, when I'd go down to Empire and Marshfield and table eggs and butter and so forth, why, then we got, well, every week or so, we'd get a lot of supplies. And things were very cheap then. Like a flower was 80 cents or something like that, and things were very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But the prices of things wasn't very, about 40 cents a pound for, 40 cents a roll for butter. Butter is about all we could get, and about 20 cents for eggs.
What about there was one thing I wanted to ask you about the Indians. Now, there was the deer, they got the wild animals too, didn't they? Or did they live more on fish?
Well, they didn't get many wild animals. They didn't
hunt deer?
Well, they hunted deer, but most of them had, in early days, they had big pits. And they'd dig out these pits, you know, and then they'd cover them over with brush and so forth in the trails, and the deer would come along or the elk, and they'd drop in these pits, and they had big spears sticking up in the pits, on the bottom of the pits, and they'd drop down and drop all those spears. Lots of big holes I've seen there when I was a kid around the country.
Is that right?
That's right. They'd cover it over on the top, you know. We'd have it all dug out so the deer or elk couldn't get out.
My word.
That's the way they caught the big game.
That's the way they catch elephants. Elephants now, isn't it?
I don't know.
In Africa, I've heard of them, where they get them, an elephant, into a hole,
well,
get them that way.
I think that's right. Well, how did they take care of their meat? Did they make jerky?
Dried everything.
Of course, I imagine your folks did canning and things when they were first there, too.
Oh, especially dried and smoked.
Even your family, too.
Oh, yes. Dried and smoked. That's right.
Well, Herman, it's sure been interesting to hear
well,
all these
to
things.
And
I probably could talk all night, you know.
Well, I can tell you a lot of things that nobody knows. So So I made the coffin. Next day, there was a